Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
We're going to find out more info because there is new vehicle data that's going to be used in this trial. Good. And that's not going to lie. That's right. Also going to tell us when Karen Reed made those voicemails or sent those voicemails and started making the 50-some phone calls after she left, supposedly. It'll be interesting to see, well, what time were those made? Was she still sitting in that car waiting for him? Was she nearby? That's going to be a real interesting piece of all of this as a new piece of data. The dog bite information is going to come on, but they can't use the word Chloe. They just have to identify it as a dog. And they're also, they are going to bring in, from what I understand, some of the bite mark pieces of this, the dog's molding of and everything, to see, does this match up with John O'Keefe's bite wounds? Something they did not do last time, which I was really puzzled by, but maybe because it could go very badly for either side and neither wanted to roll the dice on it.
And that's what it would take. So like we were saying, in order to counteract the laws of probability, you're going to need very, very factual data points like that in order to do it. You know, and it's kind of like, you know, the Koberger case.
Mm-hmm.
Had it not been for one single touch point DNA data point, there's a lot of things in there that wouldn't fall in line because of laws of probability. But in this case, you know, it's everything is against her when it comes to the things they're claiming, unless they can actually prove it with data points, because it just does not line up with the behaviors of anyone involved.
A big thing in this is, like I said, it's going to be the tone of Karen Reed, the personality of Karen Reed, something we didn't really know a ton about last time. But now her voice is going to be used. It's not just going to be the frantic voicemails or the frantic craziness the morning that they're at the scene where John's body is found on Fairview. We're going to hear all the stuff from the interviews. And the contradictory behavior. It's not a question of character. This is not a trial of character. Being a seemingly someone who has a lot of narcissistic tendencies and ways of viewing the world and handling things doesn't make you a murderer. But she's on trial for murder. And you start really painting somebody in a super bad light. Sometimes people go a little bit further, even if there isn't 100% chance of looking at something without a reasonable doubt. And I'm wondering how much that could sink her. Just everything that she said and done after the fact, if she would have just been quiet and dealt with this on a more private level, rather than being the darling of the media, how this is going to help or hurt her in this round? How do you think it's going to play out?
I don't think it's going to help her at all. I think it's going to hurt her. And here's why. So we have another compelling case to compare and contrast this to that you and I cover really closely, mm-hmm. and that's the Delphi case.
Yeah.
And so just let's look at this. So here, both people accused of murder.
Mm-hmm.
And Delphi and Richard Allen is garnering a huge amount of support and compassion on his side, because where's his focus? And because all the media interviews, well, he doesn't do media interviews, but all the transcripts we have of every interaction with anyone, where's the focus? Is it on him as a victim or on the impact all this is having on people he cares about and he loves?
Mm-hmm. It's always about the people he cares about. It's always about
his
wife.
Case, where is all the focus every time she speaks?
Mm-hmm.
It's on her.
Yeah.
There's not a mention for the impact on O'Keefe's parents, on his kids that he's taking care of. I mean, we haven't heard. I don't know what she feels. I mean, it's just the focus is her. That does not resonate or inspire compassion on her side, regardless of anything else. You know, so that's why if she could do, in my opinion, she could do just as much broadcasting of exposure as she wants. But if she had just shifted, or even at this point, shifts that focus, as this aha moment was like, you know what? Wow. I've done some reflection and I realized I've seen myself and I'm embarrassed. You know, I got defensive. There's a lot going on. You know, this is my life on the line. But when I really take a moment to sit down and think about it, the actions that I took, either intentionally or unintentionally, really impacted negatively and profoundly tragedy in a lot of lives. And for that, that's where we need to focus.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine if she took that tenor and shifted that?
If she did it from the beginning, wouldn't it be amazing? I mean, she probably, I mean, if right off the bat, it was, you know, I don't know what happened. I honestly, I don't remember. You know, I guess I was there, but I don't remember. If
she stuck to her story, stopped listening to everyone else's, that's what it would have happened. That's what it would have been. And seriously, just think about it. No matter who she is, if she stuck to her muddled memory from the alcohol-involved night that they all had together and just stuck to, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I did. It's not the kind of person I am. I'm so sorry. And remember, everyone else involved expected her to say the same thing.
Yeah.
And then when she didn't, that's when everything kind of shifted and went against her. That's when they're like, we got, you know, not all of them, but, you know, people are saying like, what the hell?
Well, yeah.
Who does it that way?
Well, she gave so many examples right off the bat. If you were just reading the tea leaves and going, well, this is rather bizarre behavior that otherwise was hidden behind the curtain of Karen Reed that only really John O'Keefe was seeing. In that relationship, those voicemails, you know, I'm sure that wasn't the first time she left a massive amount of voicemails on John O'Keefe's phone. And saying, controlling things, trying to guilt him. Your kids are home alone, John. They're home alone, like questioning his parenting skills, trying to guilt him, trying to make him be the bad guy when he's laying there.
Blaming him into behaviors.
Yeah. I can't imagine what this relationship had been like. Actually, I can. I've been in them. But yeah. That's the thing. I can see. I know this type of personality, this Karen Reed type. And no matter what, the narrative is always going to be they are right, you are wrong. They are the bright, shining one because they're obsessed with image. Like, that is everything above everything else is how am I perceived by the public? And she found a group of people who got behind her, and then she enlisted them basically as her flying monkeys. And these people have done her bidding. But what's been interesting in the last handful of weeks is as people have seen this documentary, seen her personality come out in a way that others have not in the past, see the contradictions in black and white. Some of those flying monkeys have decided to go back to Oz and say, I don't want to be part of the Wicked Witch's land anymore.
Yeah, and it is a complicated case in a sense that I still don't like the charges. I think, you know, I don't like them at all. I don't think they're accurate to what actually happened. And at the same time, you know, her behavior is incongruent with what she should have been doing, what she should have been feeling, you know, because, I mean, she doesn't inspire people to have compassion towards her when she keeps putting herself out there in the manner she's putting herself out there. And on the other side, yes, the handling of the case by the police department was way off, not good. There's corruption that's been uncovered in that police department. Although they just did I saw the internal investigation, you know, found them that, you know, they handled the case in, what was it? They made mistakes, but there's no corruption they found it involved. Yeah. So good. Yeah. You know, I liked it. So again, you know, there's so many oopses along the way here. But again, let's go back to the most important thing. Parents and children lost someone. They lost O'Keefe, and justice must be served and must be done. But again, everyone made this thing way too more complicated than it needed to be.
Well, I mean, I get the other side to a certain extent too. I mean, there's a lot of questions there and things that look somewhat shady. I mean, everybody dumping their phones like right after this, them moving out of the house like a handful of months later and taking a loss on it after they just did some remodeling. I mean, you can remodel a house and then sell it. I've done that many a times. The dog, getting rid of the dog. There's a lot of weird things where it's like, why? I mean, is this all just convenient timing? I mean, throwing away your phone in a dumpster on a army base? I mean, Why? I mean, you know, you can trade those in, you know, you can get money for that or wipe it and sell it. Like, why are you throwing this away?
So here's what I think people were really not doing very well on this one.
Yeah.
I think everyone's loving critics were too close in. They weren't objective enough for them.
Yeah.
Because something I do with absolutely everyone I interact with, anyone I work with, train with, or consult with is, and even my own kids, you and I for each other,
mm-hmm.
is let's play that tape forward a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do the thought experiment where we take the action you're going to do, and now let's play that forward four steps and what it's going to look like if this happens, what it's going to look like if this happens, what's going to be your action. And, you know, so we take the event that, and again, not judging, we should or shouldn't do this. Let's imagine we do this, and now let's play this forward.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like everyone said, all right, let's do this and roll.
Consequences be damned. we'll deal with it then. We'll ask for forgiveness later.
It was, you know, if there wasn't any malfeasance, because again, it doesn't matter what was true or not true in some mm-hmm. cases. When you have a lot of inaccuracy of memories, it's going to come down to impressions that people have and perceptions. And when you give the perception of all this malfeasance because all these stupid actions you took because you didn't think it out clearly, or maybe you were intentional with it. See what I mean? I mean, it just, there's so much uncertainty and all that's going to be present. And whether the jury hears it or not in testimony, it's always in the back of their mind because everyone's been seeing this case. I mean, there's no one who's not tainted on a jury ever on these days because the amount of social media, the amount of coverage. So there's going to be an impression that people give off. There's going to be an aura. I mean, just so all the people involved in this case give a nonverbal aura off in that courtroom.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what they speak or not speak. I mean, it's very, very easy to assess because what you're doing is when you're assessing, you're looking for what you're expecting to see and then what you're actually seeing. And now when a jury is expecting someone, doesn't matter if it's this case or another case, a jury is expecting to see one who's being charged with murder who is innocent, you're expecting to see them look soft, contrite, apologetic, humble, you know, like this, sad, downtrodden. You're expecting to see this to some degree. Is this what you're expecting to see from Karen Reed?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to see, like we've seen in the courtroom, smiling and chatting with people around you? I mean, so when you get this incongruences from expectation, it instills distrust. Because trust comes from open, honest communication, transparency, and vulnerability. Those are the behaviors of trust. And when you're in the courtroom and the jury is assessing people in the courtroom, they're assessing, is what they're saying trustworthy?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have the behaviors of trust? And all that comes across without even saying a word. It's all the nonverbals as well. So it's not helping.
And that's the problem with this case, because both sides feel untrustworthy. Like neither side feels like you want to totally get behind it. I mean, some people do because they want to be part of something. But if you're objectively looking at this case from both sides look shady as hell. And that's all where, that's why you got a hung jury. Because it's like either you're going to be someone who's going to jump on the bandwagon of either side because you want to do that and that's how your personality is. But if you're just like, well, this doesn't look the greatest over here. That doesn't look the greatest over here. The truth is somewhere in the middle, but no one's going to ever admit to anything. So how are we going to get there? And that's the problem with this case. I don't know that you truly can.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know. I'm really hoping to see more than we saw last time in way of evidence to give us something to cling to so that when whatever the jury comes up with, you can say, that was righteous. And we'll see.
We will definitely see.
Want to stay on top of the latest true crime cases? Press subscribe now and never miss a breaking update from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.